today. And the message I have is living hope. This church has a word from the Lord. Some of you have gotten to a place you lost hope. And God has sent a word. And as I was preparing this morning in prayer, I got up about 3:27 before my clock went off. I had it set for 5:30. But I'm up at 3:27. And gave me the song to remind me. And I've been seeing confirmation all day, all week. Even the announcement. What did the announcement say? Hope for what? What did that last announcement say? Hope outdoors. I said, okay, God, you keep confirming. I have a daily devotion that I read from to get me into the presence of the Lord, the calling of Jesus. Now, I got the message on Thursday, began to prepare and put it together, and been building on that message all week. All week. And I've been just seeing things, boom, concerning this word. And it's an apostolic word just for this house. And I have a daily devotion that I read every day. And I don't go past that day. I pick that particular day and I read that one. And this morning, about 5:25, because I looked at the clock when I saw that daily devotion, I said, God, you are so funny. His name is Jehovah Nisi sometimes, but we ought to call him Jehovah Sneaky. Because he's sneaky. And I asked Ms. Norma if she would read today's daily devotion to let you know I didn't just come and said, go through my Rolodex and pick out a sermon somewhere that I preached before, because I don't like to preach the message that I already preached. I like a fresh word from God. I don't like stale bread, and I want God to give me fresh revelation. So when I read this daily devotion about 5:25 this morning, I said, Listen to what God says in here.
Your longing for heaven is good, because it is extension of your yearning for me. The hope of heaven is meant to be...
The what?
The hope of heaven is meant to strengthen me. I've got to get in light.
Oh, come on. That's right. I'm just pointing out that word. Hope.
Yeah. The hope of heaven is meant to strengthen and encourage you, filling you with the wondrous joy. Merry Christmas has misunderstood this word hope, believing that it denotes wishful thinking. Nothing could be further from the truth. As soon as I become your Savior, as soon as I became your Savior, heaven became your ultimate destination. The phrase hope of heaven highlights the benefits you can enjoy even while remaining on earth. This hope keeps you spiritually alive during dark times of adversity. It brightens your path and heightens your awareness of my presence. My desire is that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only so, I'm having a hard time reading.
You're having a hard time reading.
But we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit given inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved.
In this what?
Hope.
We was what?
Saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what he has already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently.
Thank you very much. If God gave you a word to preach somewhere on a Thursday and you start building a message and you wake up on Sunday, the morning that you're going to preach it, and the daily devotion is talking about nothing but hope, 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 you say, yeah, God, you gave me the right word. So this is what I want to talk to you this morning about, a living hope. That was a song that was penned several years ago that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly leaning on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor hold within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood, support me in overwhelming flood. When all around my soul give way, He then is my hope and stay. When He shall come with His trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before His throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My desire today, as you hear this word that God is speaking to us, and I want to talk to you about a living hope or a lively hope. Don't lose hope. There are many of you that are struggling with different things today. We had a kind of a tough year, some of us. Some of us had a great year. But there's others that haven't had such a great year. And we're about to go into another year, and you're not anticipating going into this next year because this has been such a tough year. And you have lost hope. But I come to encourage you today. I come to let you know that there is hope. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Another translation. Well, let me continue. Go to verse number 4. To inherit an incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in this last day. The Living Translation put it this way. All praises to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we've been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great anticipation, a great expectation. That's what the word hope means. And we have a priceless inheritance. The thing is, you got to understand, there's a priceless inheritance that Jesus has accomplished for us. You might not be experiencing it all right now, but there is a priceless inheritance that we have. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. It is pure, it is undefiled, it is beyond the reach of change and decay. Your house that you're now living in, just watch it. It'll decay on you. If you don't keep some paint on that thing, it'll start looking kind of rough. The stuff that we see in the earth, it is changing and it is decaying. But there is an inheritance that we have that is being kept by God that will not change, nor will it decay. That ought to give us some hope this morning. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power, until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed when? In these last days. And guess what? Everybody is going to see it. Some of you say, man, listen, I'm the only Christian in my family. I catch hell from all my family folks. They say, why are you trusting in God? Come on, have a party and just enjoy life. Because, listen, when you're dead, you're done. You say, no, there's something after this life. And I'm holding on to that hope. Hello, somebody. But guess what? That's coming a day. Everybody is going to see it. Amen? Now, what is hope? The meaning of hope. Simply put, expectation. My next slide. Now, here's the thing. Back up. Here's the thing. It can be expectation of evil or fear or expectation of something good or hope. Now, when we think about this, put it in this right perspective, your expectation could be either good or it could be evil. You go to the doctor. Now, you've been having a little funny feeling in your side. Now, your expectation is to get a bad report. I don't know why it is that we do that when we go to the doctor. We are expecting something bad to be said. My head been hurting, or I got a little pain here, I got a little bump here, and you're expecting bad news. You ought to shift that and say, guess what? The doctor's going to give me a good report. Because guess what? Jesus Christ is my healer. And He's watching over me to protect me and to keep me. So this is what the word hope means. Expectation. On hope. And the Christian says joy, confident expectation of eternal salvation. On hope, in hope, having hope. I just thought I'd look that up and check this out. The author of hope. Or who it is that is the foundation that the things hoped for. Now, there's one place I saw in Scripture, about 40 different places you'll see in the Bible where the word hope would mean expectation. But there's one place in the Bible where the word hope means faith. Faith. Say that word with me. Faith. Hebrews 10:23 put it this way. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. And you could change that word profession of our faith or the profession of our hope. Are you hearing me? Without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. If God give you a promise, he's not a man that he shall lie. You can hold fast to the promises of God, and you can put confidence in what God has said. Amen? Hope. Say hope with me this morning. Let's take this thing a little bit deeper. I'm trying to build a foundation here. So what is the opposite of hope? Hopeless. Some of you guys are walking in hopelessness. You're not walking in hope. You have lost your expectation. You got a lot of promises from God. You came in expecting God to do a lot of things, and they haven't happened yet. You've been praying for some family members. They ain't got saved yet. You've been praying for some issues in your body. It hadn't happened yet. You've been praying about a job situation. It hadn't happened yet. Hello? Some of you have been concerned about the church. It hadn't happened yet. Some of you have been expecting to be in that new building next door, and it hadn't happened yet. And guess what? Some of you are losing hope. You said, I'm tired of looking at that building next door. I'm tired of hearing about the money we're raising to get that building complete. And guess what? Some of you are losing what? Hope. You're no longer expecting it to happen. I come to wake you up this morning to tell you, get your hope back. Hello, somebody. Let's look at some examples. Before I give you that, what puts you in that hopeless situation? Unmet expectations. Some of you married a guy. Had a lot of great expectations concerning that guy you married. Some of you married a woman. And guess what? You had a lot of great expectations concerning that woman. And guess what? They have not met your needs. Hello? I teach this in our marriage course. That's something that we do that is humanly impossible. No person can meet your needs. Say it over here, y'all. I'm going to say it again. No person can meet your needs. Okay, let's try to get over here. No person can meet your needs. How many of you are discovering that? What are you saying, preacher? I don't need to be married. Oh, yeah, we need to be married. But two are better than what? One. We go into marriage thinking, he's this great. Oh, man, I met my Romeo. And he met his Juliet. And it's going to be all so great. It's good for about a year, maybe. And then all of a sudden, you're pulling on them trying to get something out of them that they can't give you. And they pulling on you trying to get something out of you that they can't give you, when only God can meet all your needs. So what happened? You lose hope. Because you guess what? Unmet expectations. I tell people, look, we used to say that come to Jesus, he's going to make everything all right. Guess what? He will make things all right, but he don't immediately do it. Hello? And that's one of the thank you, Holy Spirit. There are things he got to work out of me before he could put some things in me. And so we give people this false hope. Everything going to be perfect. Get saved today, and guess what? Woohoo! Your life is perfect. How many born again in the spirit that it didn't go like that? Unmet expectation. A lot of people go back into the world. Guess why? Because they came with an expectation and it never got met. They didn't stay there long enough to let God finish the process of what he was working in them. Say, he's working on me. Let me give you a couple of examples of some people that got into hopelessness. And it's so powerful. Let's look at this one. This first one, Elijah. after he killed the 850 Baal prophets. Now, how many of you know about the story of Elijah? He's a prophet of God, and he get a word from the Lord, and he says, tell Ahab, who was the king, it ain't going to rain a span of 3.5 years. Now, that's a powerful man of God that says, it ain't going to rain, next slide, it ain't going to rain for a span of 3.5 years. And guess what? It does just what he says. He said, God, in who I stand, there will be no more rain according to my word. And guess what? It don't rain for 3.5 years. Now, after that is all said and done, the famine come, and he finally get a word from the Lord. He's about to send the rain. He said, go find Ahab. And when he find Ahab, he said, listen, you are the problem. No, you are the problem. He said, no, you're the problem. He said, no, you're the problem. He said, you have turned the nation of Israel against that God. They are torn down the altars of God, and they are now serving Baal. He said, but I tell you what, if God is God and if Baal is God, let's have a showdown at the Old Cow Corral. So he said, meet me on Mount Carmel. And they meet on Mount Carmel, and they bring 450 Baal prophets. And the prophet of God says what? Listen, whoever God, we're going to build an altar, and whoever God asks about fire, that's who Israel is going to serve. Are y'all with me? So they build an altar. He said, you go first. Bring two bullocks. They get a bullock, and they cut it into pieces. They build their altar. They set the bull up on the altar, and then they begin to pray for their God. They started from the morning until noon. And they said, oh God, they called old Baal. And guess what? By 12 o'clock, they don't get an answer. Elijah looked at them and said, look guys, maybe you need to call a little louder. Your God may be having a hearing problem. Then he says, listen, they begin to cut themselves. Blood is gushing out all over the altar. Sometimes people think they got to do something to get God to answer. But my God, you ain't got to cut yourself. You ain't got to scream loud. You ain't got to shout. You just pray a prayer from your heart. They pray from noon to the evening sacrifice. Still that God ain't answered. Elijah said, enough of this mess. Tear that junk down. Get out of the way. Bring me that other bullock. He took 12 stones, built an altar, cut that bullock up into 12 pieces. And guess what? He said, now get out of the way. And he prayed a simple prayer. And before he do that, he said, get 4 barrels of oil. Build a trench, dig a trench around the altar and soak it. Wait a minute, ain't the God supposed to answer by fire? If you want to start a fire, you don't wet the thing you want to burn. Take 4 barrels of water, pour it on it. Do it again, fill up them 4 barrels again. A second time, pour it on it. Do it a third time, pour it on it. What's 3 times 4? He put 12 barrels of water on something he won't got to start a fire. It's so much water, it's got water all around the trench. Pray a simple prayer. And guess what? Fire from heaven. And old Elijah says this, don't let a single prophet get away. And he take 450 plus 400. That's 850. Go to my next slide. Next one. You got to catch up with me. Come on. Next one. I'm already past all that. Come on. Come on. Look what happened. Ho! Back up. He said, now, summon all Israel to join me at where? Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of what? Asherah, who are supported by who? Old Jezebel. Go to the next slide. After he get through and he did now his altar, his own fire to burn it up. God sucked it up and burned it up. Look what he says. Then Elijah commands, seize all the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one escape. So the people seized all of them, and who killed them? Look at the word. Elijah took them down to Kishron Valley and he killed them. He killed 850 prophets. Now, if I'd have done that, I'd have stuck my chest out. Man, God, we bad. He set that altar on fire and I'd have killed every one of these prophets. Now, what do you think his expectation is now? He don't believe there ain't nothing God can't do. But that ain't the end of the story. Next slide. Ahab go home. Tell his old low-down dirty wife, Jezebel, what has happened. And look what happened. And when Ahab got home and told Jezebel everything Elisha had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal, so Jezebel sent him a what? Message. You tell Elijah, may the God strike me even as he killed me. May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed him. Has he got any reason to be scared? How many men he just killed? 850. One low down dirty woman sent him a note named Jezebel. And guess what? He runs for his life. Look what the word said. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life and went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. How many of y'all got a bad message here lately? Maybe you got a pink slip from your job to say you're about to be laid off. Maybe you got a foreclosure and said they're about to foreclose on your house. Things were going good. You was all excited about how God was moving in your life, and all of a sudden you get a bad, just a little bad news. Somebody slipped you a note. Maybe you lost a loved one this year. Turn your life upside down. Maybe somebody told you your child is in jail, been arrested for drugs. That ain't good news, is it? That can turn your world upside down real quick. You got all this expectation in God. God is able to do anything. But guess what? Somebody just sent you a bad note. And some of us do just like Elijah. React to the note. He reacted to the note. She ain't nothing but a woman. Why is he afraid of her? He done lost something. What has he lost? Hope. What do he do? Then he went along into the wilderness and traveled all day and sat down under the solitary place. Some King James said Jupiter tree. And he's sitting there. Now look what he does. And he prayed that he might what? Why you want to die? Some of y'all. Lord, just take me home. I'm tired of planet Earth. Tired of all this trouble here. Trouble on the left. Trouble on the right. No good report. Everything is bad. Is that true? Because you lost something. What you lost? Hope. And he says, now, Lord, I pray, take my life, for I'm no better than any of my ancestors who've already died. Some of y'all pray, take me home to mama, take me home to grandpa, take me home to grandma. I want to be where they are. You got life to live. You got things to do. It ain't time to go home yet. God called that shot, not you. So Elijah, this mighty prophet of God, killed 850 Baal prophets. Saying, God, kill me. Why? Got one letter from a bad woman. One note. What is it today that got you in disarray? You lost your hope. What is it? What bad report you got? What is it? What is the bad report you got? And all that hope and great anticipation and expectation you had, you have lost it all. Why? Because somebody gave you a bad report. Next slide. You blind again. I've been zealous for you, Lord. And some of us are like that. God, I did this. I never slept around. We start giving God all our do good lists. Hello? I go to church every Sunday. I pay my tithes. Why I'm having financial trouble? Hello? I've been zealous for you, Lord. But, say but. That's our problem. Get our butt out of the way. But the people of Israel have broken down the covenant. They've broken that covenant with you. They're torn down the altars. They killed every one of your prophets. And I'm the only one left. Y'all ever feel like that sometimes? Especially on your job. Hello? Only Christian on your job. All of them living like hell, raising hell, keeping up hell. Right? I'm the only one. Only one in your family, born again. Hate to go to family reunion. Hate to go to Christmas dinner. They're going to be acting a fool over there, and I don't really want to go. Why? Because I'm only Christian. Sound like this guy, huh? Little did he know. He said, I am the only one left. Now, they're trying to kill me too. Who's trying to kill him? Who's trying to? They. Look. They. Who Who tried to kill him? One woman. You can kill 850 prophets. You can't handle one woman. What he done lost? Hope. God fixed him though. Keep reading. Keep reading. I wish I had time to go through all this. God responds to him and he said, listen, son, you say ain't nobody left of you? Look, yeah, I have preserved. This is God talking. I have preserved what? 7,000 others. Where are they? In Israel who have never bowed down to what? Baal. See, sometimes the devil will isolate you, make you think ain't nobody there but you. And nobody's doing right but you. Nobody's holding on but you. But guess what? He said, I got 7,000 others that ain't bowed down. I'm so glad we got a group of us here today. Listen, you ought to be encouraged today. There are some other saints of God that's living right this day. I don't care what the world say they're going to do, but guess what? But as for me and my house, we're going to do what? Serve the Lord. And guess what? I wish I had time to go into the story. God had to deal with this guy over and over and over. He don't seem to get it. You can get so deep in the hopelessness that even God can't get you out. Y'all, read the story. God sends a wind, but God said, I ain't in the wind. He sends an earthquake, but he wasn't in the earthquake. Then God speaks, how? Through a small, still voice. You know what eventually happened? He lost his position. Go back and read the story. He said, here, Elijah, since you're so bent on dying, going to heaven, like some of these saints of God today, they're just ready to die and go to heaven. And we got all this work in the earth to do. He said, listen, here's what I want you to do. You go and anoint Hazael. Make him king over Syria. And then I want you to go and get another man of God. And I want you to make him king over Judah. And he said, go get Elisha. Guess what Elisha is about? Elisha. This is Elijah. Guess what Elisha is about to do? He's going to take your place. Since you don't want to do it, I'm going to raise me up somebody else. Why? Because this man done lost something. What did he lose? Hope. Go to the next slide. Here's another group of people that lost hope. Did y'all know the disciples lost hope? Soon as Jesus was crucified, he didn't already prepare them, told them everything that's going to happen. Next slide. Jesus and the disciples. Now, John 20:19 says this. That Sunday evening, the disciples was meeting behind locked doors because they was what? Afraid of the Jews. Why? Because Jesus had been crucified. He'd been killed. And they in a room locked up, scared of all the Jewish leaders. And listen, all of a sudden, what happened? Jesus is standing among them, and guess what he said? Peace be unto you. Now, don't miss this passage of Scripture. Where are they? Where at? Huh? Behind locked doors. Who opened the door and let Jesus in? How did he get in? See, sometimes we missed it. We read the word and we miss it. How did Jesus get in a locked door, behind a locked door, in a room where all his disciples are now afraid? How did he get in there? Huh? Suddenly. Yeah, that is. That's true. I can't wait to get that kind of body he got. Listen, the kind of body you're going to have, you can still eat. And you ain't going to be a ghost. And you can walk through a wall. Nobody opened the door. He's just in the room. How did he get in there? I don't know but one way he could have got in there. He just came through the wall. One version says they thought he was a ghost. He said, I ain't no ghost. Give me something to eat. Because ghosts don't eat. So guess what? He walks in and guess what he says? Peace be unto you. Now that ought to shook him up, right? Let him know he'd resurrected from the dead. But guess what? It ain't enough. Go to the next slide. That's the first day. And then as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hand and the side. And they was filled with what? They said, they saw the Lord. They did what? Next verse. Again, he said, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he did what? Breathed on them and said, receive what? Go to the next slide. This is the first time he shows himself to the disciples. Now, John 20:24 says, one of the 12, named who? What's his nickname? Oh, Doubting Thomas. He's called the what? The twin. He was not with them when Jesus showed up the first time. Now, what happened? They told him, we have seen who? But he replied, I won't believe it. I won't believe it. I won't believe it because he's old doubting what? Old doubting Thomas that have no hope. And he said, I won't believe it unless I do what? See the nail wounds in his hand and put my finger into his side and place my hand into the wounds in his side. Next slide. 8 days later, say 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time, guess who with them? Old doubting Thomas is there. This is the what? Second time he shows up. Now look at this. And the door was locked, but suddenly, as before, the door is locked, and Jesus is standing among them. What do he say, as he always say? Peace be unto you. How did he get in this time? Walk through the wall. Then he said to Thomas, how do you know Thomas doubted him? Is anything hidden from God? He said, Thomas, get up, big boy. Get in. Did he say to Thomas, put your finger where? How did he know that? Ain't that what Thomas said? I ain't going to believe unless I can put my fingers in the side, see the nail prints in his hand. He said, come here, Thomas, put here. Put his fingers in the nail print. He said, look at my hands. Put your hands in between my wounds and my side. And don't be what? Faithless anymore. Another word for hopeless is what? Faith. Hope is faith. Hopeless is the opposite of hope. Another word for opposite of faith is what? Faithless. So he's faithless. Don't be faithless any longer. But what? Believe. And my Lord, my God, he explained, it is you. Oh, doubting Thomas, finally believe. Hello? And then Jesus told him, you believe, Thomas. Why? Because you have seen me. But he says what? Blessed are those that believe and have what? Not seen. I'm so glad I'm one of those. I'm so glad I didn't have to put my finger in his side. I'm so glad that I didn't have to see his nail print. But every morning I get up now, I get in his presence, and he just shows up in the room. Hello, somebody. Glory be to God. Now, how many times he showed himself to him? Is that enough to let them know? Is that enough? Are they still hopeless? Next slide. Later, say later, Jesus appear again. Say again. How many times is this? Three times. To the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. And this is how it happened. Several of the disciples. Notice, how many? Can anybody tell me how many that several was? Quickly. I'll give you two more seconds. One, two. You didn't get it. Let's name them. Several of the disciples were there. Who were they? Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, the sons of who? How many was it? Two. So how many did they make? Five. And two other disciples. How many people there? Here's the second time. Because guess what they're doing? Go to the next slide. Simon Peter says, I'm going. See, when you lose hope, guess what you do? You go back to what you know. You go back to your old lifestyle. You go back into the world. You go do what you used to do. Peter used to be a what? And you tell the disciples, hey, guys, they've seen Jesus how many times? Twice. But Peter said, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my old trade. Why? Because he lost something. What has he lost? Hope. So he said, I'm going fishing. So he go fishing. He said, guess what they tell him? We coming too. You always got to have somebody to lead. I pray that everybody in here is a leader and not a follower. So Peter leads them back to fishing. So they went into a boat, but they caught nothing. They fished all night. They caught nothing. Look what happened. And that dawn, what happened? Jesus is standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. And he called out, hey guys, y'all caught anything? See it? But they reply, no, we ain't caught nothing. Next slide. Then he said, throw your net on the other side, on the right side of the boat, and you'll get some. Who know more about fishing? The fishermen or Jesus? What have the fishermen been doing all night? Fishing. Caught anything? They right on top of fish and don't even know it. And he who knows everything says, throw your net on the other side. You can trust Jesus when you can't even trust yourself. And he said, throw your net on the other side. And guess what happened? When they did, they caught a haul in the net because there was so many fish in it. The net almost broke, but it didn't. Verse 7 says, then the disciples, Jesus, that Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. They didn't even know who it was. That's Jesus. Wonder why he said that now. Because nobody could do that but Jesus. Tell us what the fish had. We've been fishing all night. Throw it on the right side. We caught this fish, all these fish. How many fish did they catch? When Peter heard that it was the Lord. Now, this got me. What did he do? He put his tunic on because he had stripped himself to work. Put his tunic on, and guess what he does? How many of y'all put your clothes on to get in the water? You take your clothes off to jump in the water. Peter put his clothes on and did what? Jumped in the water and started swimming. Y'all see it? He headed to the shore. What did Jesus do? He said, bring some of the fish you caught. Next slide. So Simon went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. How many fish did they catch? 153. Now, watch the revelation. Why did the Bible tell you how many fish they caught? Listen to this. You will try to go back when you get in a hopeless situation and do what you used to do. And Jesus will prove to you that he's bigger than anything that you've been using for life. I'm bigger. They've been using their skills to catch fish and ain't caught nothing. Jesus comes along, tell them where to put the net. They catch 153 fish. Listen to this. For the rest of their lives, they are disciples of Jesus Christ doing what he called them to do. He said, I didn't call you to catch fish. I called you to catch men. God would never call you to do something that he don't take care of you. 153 fish for fishermen in that day, that's a lot of moolah. They have enough money now that they can go back home and not have to fish ever again because they got money to take care of the family. God ain't going to never cause you to do something. He ain't going to take care of you. I've been in a situation for the last 2 years, and guess what? God has been taking care of me. My retirement didn't do it. I shared that story here before. But guess what? Every time it gets down to the bottom of the barrel, he do something. I said every time it gets down to the bottom of the barrel, he what? Do something. He don't ever want me to get in a situation where I become hopeless. Because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly leaning on Jesus' name. For Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I'm standing on Jesus. I'm not standing on my ability. I'm not standing on my ability to make a living working. No. He called me from the workforce to preach this word. And I come to encourage you today to tell you, guess what? Don't you lose your hope. Don't you lose it. He served him a happy meal. 3-piece dinner, fish dinner. For breakfast. See it? Hello? Next slide. This was the what time? Third time that Jesus had appeared unto the disciples since they had been raised from the dead. It took 3 times to get them out of that hopeless situation until they finally did what he told them to do. And look, it took 3 more times to talk to Peter. You remember the story? Peter, do you love me? What Peter said? Yes, Lord. Then Jesus says what? Feed my... Then he asked him again, Peter, do you love me? What Peter said? Yes, Lord. Then he said what? Feed my... He asked him the 3rd time. I wonder why. Did you think it might have been because Peter denied him 3 times? But guess what? The third time Jesus,
Peter,
do you love me? What did Peter say? Lord, you know. I messed up that first time. I ain't messing up this time. I said I'd never leave you, and I'm the first one to start cussing saying I don't know you. I denied you three times. But this time he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, guess what? Lord, you know. And I believe that solidified who Peter was in his walk with Jesus Christ. Because he no longer trusted himself. Guess what? From that day forward, Peter trusted Jesus Christ. Some of you today, you lost hope. And I'm through. I'm not through, but the message got a whole lot more stuff up here. I don't have more time. Y'all got to go to Sunday school. I like preaching other kind of message, but this is the message today. Because a lot of you guys are like the disciples. You lost your hope. You're looking at your circumstances instead of focusing on Jesus. I've learned this. Whatever I focus on, guess what happened to it? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. If I focus on the problem, what happened to the problem? Bigger, bigger, bigger. What if I focus on the solution? My solution becomes bigger than my what? Problem. What's my solution? Stand to your feet. I'm not free, but I quit. Because it's almost 9:30. How many of you be honest today and say, preacher, you know what? God sent you the right word. Because I really have. I lost some hope. Hope in my marriage. Hope in my family. I lost hope in my job. Lost hope in my career. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing anymore. I'm losing hope in my church. I don't know what's going on in my church. I don't know nothing about this church. Let me get that straight right now. And I'm losing hope. I'm slipping fast. My expectations has dwindled. I'm not expecting things to get any better. I'm not even expecting to get healed anymore. I done prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and I'm still dealing with the same issue. If you hear somewhere in that place that you done got into a hopeless place, who should come to the altar? Don't let him have to come to you three times to shake you out of it. Because he came to Elijah three times, I didn't go into it. Came to the disciples three times. Because they lost what? Hope. And it's because I had expectation and I didn't get them met. I was expecting by now, man, I'd be so much further along. And guess what? I'm still where I was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 days ago, 2 months ago, whatever that was that you was expecting to happen. Hopelessness. You know what it leads to? Depression. Anxiety. And that brings on sickness and diseases. Your body starts shutting down. Your mind is so powerful that your body reacts to your mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. Wrong thought patterns create all kinds of physical problems for you. I've been there. I got so depressed one time, I couldn't stand the sound of sounds, loud noises. Blood pressure went up. They put me on high blood pressure medicine. And all it was, I was losing hope. Some of you, high blood pressure problem will disappear if you come and surrender to all those expectations that have not been met and say, Jesus, I give them to you. I can't help. I can't fix it. It's kind of like a baby wanting peanut butter jelly sandwich. And you ask you for it, and you take him in the kitchen. You put the peanut butter and the jelly on the table, and you put the bread there, and the child tell you, I'll do it. I'll do it. Let me do it. And you get over there, and you try to get that jar of peanut butter open. What do you do? Fold your arms. So they say they'll do it. You want to do it so bad because you love them. There are things that you've been trying to do, just like the little child. And Jesus has been had his arm folded, waiting on you to say, Jesus, I can't do this. I give it to you. This altar is open. I don't know what that thing you carry is causing your hopelessness. If you'll come to the altar with your hands with that thing in it, just bring it to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I can't do this. I need your help. Give it to me. Give it to me. That's what he asked him today. Maybe like the three people here are dealing with anything that, you know, causing hopelessness. That's fine. Pray for them. If everything is fine in your life, I'm glad. But God gave me this word. He confirmed it this morning in my day of devotion. Some of you are concerned about this church. Where we headed. You lost some hope. I want you to come. Uh-oh, that's going to expose me. No, that's saying I want this church to be successful. I want this church to go forward. I don't want this church to split. I don't want this church to build up. Oh, when you start a building project, you can rest assured the devil's going to fight you. Tooth and nail, he's going to fight you. Every pastor that I know ever went into a building project, he called hell from the devil. If nothing else, you need to pray for your pastor. Cover him. Because he's leading you. So I bless each one of you. I don't have it. Jesus got the answer. Right now, whatever that situation is that's causing your hopelessness, trust Jesus, the solid rock. Put your confidence and faith in him. He is more than able to do exceedingly abundant above all that you could ask or even think. In Christ Jesus.